This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines. The White House is cheering a deal with hospitals to offset the costs of major health care reform. Vice President Joe Biden confirmed the deal with three major hospital associations to contribute $155 billion over the next 10 years in order to help pay for a massive health care overhaul.
Reform is coming. It is on track. It is coming. We have tried for decades to fix a broken system, and we have never in my entire tenure in public life been this close.
And Biden says lawmakers have to finish the job. He says we need health care reform and we need it now.
Rising costs are crushing us. They're crushing families, crushing businesses, crushing state budgets, and they are crushing the health care industry itself.
The hospital's deal follows a recent agreement by big drug companies to offset about $80 billion over a decade. Some estimates predict that the overall cost of health care reform will exceed $1 trillion, and some estimates now take it as high as $3 trillion. As for the impact of these deals with the pharmaceutical industry and the hospital associations, these deals may not be all they're cracked up to be. Log on to worldnetdaily.com and go to the media section or radioamerica.org and the Dateline podcasts to listen to my conversation with Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. She explains what's really going on with these deals and why it really won't trim the overall costs for the Democratic version of health care reform and why it will still be trillions of dollars foisted upon the American taxpayers. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, Arizona Republican Senator John McCain has a different complaint. He's accusing Democrats of ditching pledges to seek bipartisan solutions to the health care crisis. He says Republicans are hardly being consulted at all.
One of the very disappointing aspects of this whole debate is we really haven't changed the climate in Washington. Can't we sit down and agree to save health care in America and preserve its quality and make it affordable and available?
One of the hallmarks of long-term health care reform is to improve preventative care and get Americans healthier so they don't need so many costly treatments. Well, if that's the goal, there's a lot of work to be done. The government says Americans are heavier now than they've ever been. A new report says more than 26% of the U.S. population was fully obese in 2008. That's a jump of 0.5% from the year before. The head of the study says that if Americans continue to widen their waistbands, health care costs for obesity-related diseases will increase as well. The Centers for Disease Control said 30% of adults are obese in Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Only one state, Colorado, had an obesity rate of less than 20%. Obesity is considered a major risk factor for heart disease, diabetes, and other life-threatening conditions. Overseas now, with a big boost from the U.S. Marines, Afghan forces have taken control of a valley formerly held by the Taliban. An Afghan flag was raised in a gesture that one U.S. commander compared to a great victory in World War II. General Larry Nicholson called it a big Iwo Jima moment. The Helmand River Valley was secured with the aid of about 10,000 U.S. Marines, something that NATO troops had failed to achieve during years of fighting. The valley has been one of the most violent regions in the volatile country. But it's not all sunshine and roses for General Nicholson. He says flat out he needs more troops. He says he's not going to sugarcoat it. Quote, the matter of the fact is we don't have enough Afghan forces and I'd like more. He says right now he's got 4,000 American troops and about 650 Afghan forces. He would like 4,000 of each. He also added that police units aren't as well trained as he would like to see, and he plans to work to improve the quality of those forces, including the opening of a police academy. Right now, the U.S. and Afghan forces are in joint operations in what's known as Operation Kandahar. Troops are attempting to clear areas in the eastern and southeastern portions of Afghanistan to maintain security ahead of August presidential elections. At least 8 policemen have been killed in renewed fighting in Afghan's eastern district. The officers died after insurgents attacked government buildings in Nuristan's Barg-Matal district. Nuristan's governor says another 8 policemen were kidnapped during gun battles that lasted several hours. Government officials said 21 Taliban fighters were killed in the battle, while the Taliban claim to have surrounded the building and say they lost only 4 of their fighters in the conflict. The Afghan Health Ministry confirms that a swine flu outbreak sickened 14 American citizens working at the Bagram Air Base just north of Kabul. All have been treated and are now back to work. No cases were detected among Afghan citizens. Bagram is home to thousands of U.S. troops and civilian staff. At least 40 suspected members of the Taliban have been killed in drone attacks in western Pakistan. Reporter Priscilla Huff has more.
It's the second round of strikes in as many days. Publicly, Pakistani officials insist that the drone attacks are unpopular. However, the government has been urging Washington to give the technology to Islamabad. To the north, in the Swat Valley, there are reports that a key Taliban military leader, Maulana Fazlullah, has been seriously injured. The U.S. is particularly interested in his boss, Baitullah Massoud, the leader of the Pakistan Taliban, because he's thought to give sanctuary to Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Back here at home, security at federal buildings may be re-examined after investigative plants with the Government Accountability Office were allowed to smuggle bomb parts past guard stations at all 10 facilities they entered. After making entry, the plainclothes officials assembled the fake bombs and transported them in a briefcase around government offices. The crude fake bombs featured liquid explosives and a detonator. Investigators made sure the smuggled bombs could be set off. CNN reports one of the buildings comprised houses of the Department of Homeland Security. 10 federal buildings in 4 cities were tested. The results of the stealth investigation were presented today at a hearing of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. And the panel's chairman, Joe Lieberman, says he's shocked and outraged.
In 10 different federal buildings, 10 GAO, government investigators, were able to get by security with the components of a bomb.
Lieberman says there's clearly a problem that needs to be fixed very quickly. The ranking Republican on the committee, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, says she's equally troubled.
GAO did not find a problem just once or twice, but in every single case. And that suggests a systemic failure that has to be remedied.
Cybersecurity, a concern as well, especially after a series of cyber attacks that began over the weekend, have crippled the websites of several major American and South Korean government agencies. Correspondent Kate Moody has details.
The websites of the White House, Treasury and State Departments, Secret Service, and the New York Stock Exchange were all among those that came under attack over the weekend. At least 11 major sites came under similar attacks in South Korea, including those of the Presidential Blue House, the Defense Ministry, the National Assembly, and a major bank. A few commercial websites of large newspapers, including the Washington Post, also suffered slowdowns. South Korea's main government spy agency has said the attacks appear to have been launched by a hostile group or government, and the Yonhap news agency has said that North Korea may be implicated. Kate Moody, Washington.
And later in the day, American officials also say they believe North Koreans are responsible for the hacking. After 2 days, President Obama has left Russia and he's now taking part in the G8 summit in L'Aquila, Italy, the site of a major earthquake back in April. Obama today joining other leaders of the industrialized world in backing new targets for battling global warming. But the wealthy nations were unable to persuade leaders of developing countries to commit to reductions of their own. And the G8 leaders say that is critical if anything's actually going to be accomplished. White House officials confirm that President Obama has agreed to language supporting a goal of keeping the world's average temperature from rising any more than 2 degrees Celsius or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. The agreement marks a significant step in efforts to limit so-called greenhouse gases blamed for the world's rising temperature. The G8 previously had not been able to agree on that temperature limit as a political goal. It remains only a target, however, and it is far from clear that it will ever be met, especially as China and India and other rapidly industrializing nations generate and consume more energy from coal and other sources and couldn't care less what they're being asked to do by the G8 and other environmental activists. On the domestic front, Massachusetts is suing the U.S. government over a federal law that defines marriage as the union between one man and one woman. The Federal Defense of Marriage Act, according to the Attorney General in the Bay State, interferes with the right of Massachusetts to define and regulate marriage as it sees fit. The 1996 law, passed overwhelmingly back then by both the House and Senate and signed into law by President Clinton without any objection, denies federal recognition of gay marriage and gives states the right to refuse to recognize gay marriages performed in other states. The lawsuit argues the act, quote, constitutes an overreaching and discriminatory federal law. It says the approximately 16,000 gay couples who have been married in Massachusetts since the marriages there were being performed in 2004 are being unfairly denied federal benefits given to heterosexual couples. Legal scholars on the other side of the issue say this case has no merit whatsoever because the Defense of Marriage Act explicitly gives power to the states to define marriage how they see fit and to recognize or not recognize gay marriages performed in other states. Besides Massachusetts, 5 other states, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and Iowa, have legalized gay marriage recently. Gay marriage opponents in Maine said Wednesday that they had collected enough signatures to put the state's pending law on the November ballot for a possible override from the voters. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 15 points to close at 8178, the NASDAQ up 1 to 1747, the S&P 500 down 1 to 880. Oil prices sliding again, $2.79 to close at $60.14 per barrel. That's a look at Wednesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.